On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning came a new smile.
Tuesday.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, all right.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? No. No, that's not me. No. Never mind. All right. Theme music by Jason Shaw. Thank you, Jason. You're a hell of a guy. I don't know you personally, but you're nice. And then John Shanahan, the announcer for this program and so many other things. He does classical radio. He does a hypnagogue. Google that. He's great. He's funny. He's a comedy writer. I don't know about his religious background, but he's a hell of a guy. John Shanahan, ladies and gentlemen. And Nicole Reed, who does some of the production background stuff, books many of the national interviews. She plays the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She wears a size D cup, I think. No, am I wrong on that? That's embarrassing. That bra size stuff. You know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Whoa. The higher up you get in the alphabet, the bigger the back problems, I assume. I would hate to be classified like that. Hey, Ron, you got a B penis. Oh no, that's embarrassing. Yeah, you don't want to classify your private parts by letters. It's not going to work out for anybody. All right, that's it. Theme song fades out. Now it's all on me. It's all over me. Well, today is a big day for me, and I don't really think you're going to care why. Today, this is major. It's major for me. It's major. Today, it's the day I go to get my hair taken care of. Yeah. I'm not kidding you. Shut up. Yeah. I am getting my... You're kidding me? You're going to get your hair done today? Shut up. All right. Yeah. Once every couple of months, maybe even every 3 months, I get my hair done. It becomes done. Ron, did you do your hair today? It is done. I'm getting my hair done. It's an odd phrase, isn't it? Yeah, I'm a little bit older than a teenager, and little parts of my hair have started to turn gray. A lot of people think that makes you distinguished. I have always been distinguished. Thank you very much. I don't want my hair turning colors on me. If my hair started turning blue, that would be kind of in style, and I could join Blue Man Group. But it doesn't turn blue, it turns gray. So I need to have that taken care of. So I go to this lady, and she's a wonderful person, I guess. I mean, I only know her within the confines of this small room with a chair and a sink in it. But she's very nice, and she knows what she's doing because she went to a school that taught her this. And she does very well, and I'm happy with the way I look when I leave her place. Not too thrilled the way I look when I go into her place, but when I leave her place, I look good for at least a couple hours. I try to plan things to do after I leave the hairdressing place. Because I think that probably is the best I'm going to look for a short period of time. So I try to flaunt it. So I go places where people can say, Ron, you're looking good. I just had my hair done. Done with what? What did you do to it? I can't tell you. It's private. Ron, you look so young. Yeah, that has to do with a lot of things put in my hair. That's what happens. So I go to this young lady, and she seats me in the chair, and then she puts a bib on me like I'm going to have a large bowl of spaghetti, which I would not argue with. She covers me up. Not that she's sloppy. It's just what you do. So she puts this gigantic bib on me. And then she proceeds to ask me various questions. The first questions are very vague and very like, okay, really? The questions are very similar to, how are you? How's everything? How is everything going? Those questions, you know, those vague, I don't give a shit questions, but we need to get through those in order to get anywhere else in a conversation. How's everything? How's the family? How's everything going? Those things, you know, where you answer and you realize as you're answering, they're not even listening to me. They so much don't care. They ask me a question to which they don't give a shit about the answer. And that's what happens. That's the beginning of every conversation. Oh, very, very nice to meet you. How are you today? I don't really care, but answer the question. What the hell? It's like that. So we get through that stuff, and then she asks me what I want. And I always come in with a large list of about 25 items. And she says, no, as far as your hair is concerned. Oh, okay. I would like it to look good. And she says, shall I do what I did before? And I say, you do your magic. You do what you did before. She dyes my hair. I don't get it all dyed. Why is it? Why is that? That's dyed. Yet it's. Why do we say it like? Why do we? I'm getting my hair colored. Why am I dyeing it? What am I? A T-shirt. Yeah. There's little strands of gray in my hair every once in a while, and she covers that up, and that's what she does. And she tries to match the color of most of my hair, which is fortunately still, you know, the light brown thing. And I also have a beard and all that kind of crap. So there's a lot of hair going on. And I also have long hair. Why do I have long hair? You know, I really don't know. I just really don't know. I always have. My first gigantic argument was with my father when I was like 14 years old, I think. I grew a beard. And I didn't want to cut my hair. And my father said, no, I'm not. You're not a member of this family based on your hair choice. But I won, and I've had a beard since I was a teenager. I swear it's true. Maybe for a short period of time it was shaved off, but it went right back on. I have no idea what my chin looks like. It's never seen the light of day for decades and decades and decades. And I have long hair because I was a hippie when I was one of those. I was a late blooming hippie. And I had long hair and all that kind of shit. Peace and love, man. Yeah, that worked out. A whole generation of peace and love. Yeah, it went nowhere. Too bad that didn't stick. We'd be in a better place. But it didn't. Now we've turned from peace and love to anger and hatred. Seriously. That's the older generation. I wouldn't say it's the younger generation. I'd say it's the middle generation right now is anger and hatred, as opposed to my generation of peace and love. And I got to tell you, I've been in both generations. The peace and love one, that was pretty cool. Oh, that was very cool. Oh, that was extremely cool. You people, you generation people, you have no idea how cool peace and love was. It was not a bad deal. Anyway, I stray from the conversation that I'm having with myself. So I'm getting my hair done today, and she is going to make me look good. It's going to be an incredible experience. When I leave that place, you know, you can give me all the massages you want, dope me up, give me alcohol. You can make me feel really, really as good as you can. But nothing makes me feel as good as when I look in the mirror after she has done me up. And I just feel so good about that. So anyway, that's today. So she puts the dye in my hair, and then I sit there for an extended period of time playing with my cell phone because there's nothing else to do. I used to just sit in a chair and think and daydream. Now I have a cell phone to occupy me because we all need to be occupied for every moment of our lives. We need to be doing something. We cannot sit idly. It doesn't work like that anymore. We must play games with our phone or just make sure no one's trying to get in touch with us because we are so damn important, right? It's a crazy world, and people wonder why they have stress. It's because you don't disconnect. You don't know how to. That's why you have stress, you idiot. Peace and love, man. You're missing it. Anyway, so I sit there, and then she says, okay, and then she takes my head bodily, and she takes my head and throws it into a sink and asks me a series of questions. Is this hurt? Does this hurt? Is the water too hot? Is your head in the sink? Did your neck hurt? I mean, so I'm lying pretty much on my back with my head in the sink, and she leans over me, which is a kind of an awkward time in life. Here I am lying on my back with my head in the sink, and this lady is looming over my body with my head in the sink. It's just when you put it all together, it must look really stupid. And she washes my hair. You know, I'm not saying it's a sexual thing. I'm really not, because it isn't. But it feels pretty good to have someone else massage your head as they're... No, not that head. You know what I'm talking about. It's nice to get a little head massage every once in a while. I don't know. I don't like people playing with my feet, but when they massage the foot, that's kind of nice. Don't touch my toes. Do not touch my toes. But the base of the foot, yeah, sure, go to town. I don't care. So she massages my head as she's throwing shampoo and conditioner and I don't know toothpaste. I don't know what the hell's going in my hair there. She's just adding bottles to the top of my head, but she's massaging it, so I don't argue with that. If someone wants to massage a part of your body, do not stop them. I don't care who you are or what they're massaging. Do not stop them. Let the massage continue. And then she rinses everything out, and my head's still in the sink backwards. And then she puts me back in that barber chair thing, that strange chair. That chair that only doctors, dentists have similar chairs. They're chairs, they pump you back, they pump you forward, they swivel. They're just weird chairs. They look like torture devices, but they're not. And then she does various things to my hair. She'll put a lot of product in it. And they actually call it product. Do you want product in your hair? Yeah, how about like half a jar of mayonnaise and maybe some wheat germ? And let's see what other product you may have. Do you have Swiss cheese? Do you have that? Do you have that product? So she puts all kinds of stuff in my hair, a lot of product. And then she asks if I want hairspray. And I said, well, if it's free, put it on. That's what I asked through the whole process. Would you like to have it? Is it free? Would you like to hear? Is that free? Is that part of the deal here? Is that part of the package deal? And then she takes out this this item that produces heat. They call it a blow dryer, and it blows my hair dry. That's why they call it a hair blower dryer. And I often get my face wrapped up in the electrical cord by mistake. Those things, the cords on those things just really never seem to be long enough, do they? And she blow dries my hair. That too is not a bad experience. Every once in a while I get a little bit too hot and I have to do little clues like, whoa. And she says, why, what's the matter, too hot? Well, I did say, whoa. And and then she adds a little more hairspray and a half a truckload of conditioner and some stuff. And then she gets to the part that I can't stand, and that she says, do you want me to trim your hair? See, I don't want to trim my hair while it's wet because we can't see exactly what it's going to look like when it's finished. I like to wait till it's all finished and then have her trim my hair. That's what I've trained her to do. But that just like, I don't know. Probably looks better a little trimmer, but then like I'm losing my powers. I want to have some hair left. Do you understand what I'm going through, young lady? I'm starting to lose my hair, you see. And you trimming some of it off seems like that shouldn't be happening. Unless you can trim it off and then take the hair and paste it to the top of my head. If you can do that, we got a deal. But otherwise, I'm a little apprehensive about losing any of this stuff. Did you ever, like, you get up in the morning and you brush your hair, you comb your hair, whatever you do, and then you look at the comb or the brush and there's your hair is in it, your hair came off your head and got onto the comb and the brush? That is like a moment of panic. You know it's okay because for some reason it always seems to be okay, but it is indeed a time of great concern. It's panic for me. So that doesn't work. So she trims it. She says, well, you know, I really need to trim off the split ends. So I don't know what you just said, but whatever you think is best. And then she takes a little razor and she shaves my neck with the electric razor. And they call it cleaning up. They're cleaning me up. I'm being cleaned up. And then she takes the bib off. And then we're getting close to the part that really freaks me out. So I'm kind of getting to that point here. It's the finale. She takes off the gigantic bib. It's like I've just eaten some type of like 20-foot lobster. And I got butter sauce all over me, that kind of bib. And she takes it off and she says, well, what do you think? And I say, well, I don't know. Then she turns the chair a little bit to the left and the right so I can get all aspects of this incredible sculpting job that she's done on my head. And then comes the moment of grief. She takes a mirror and puts it behind my head. It reflects into the mirror in front of me, the gigantic mirror of death. And I can see at this time, like I've never seen before, what the back of my head looks like. Oh my God. Is that what I look like from behind? And she doesn't answer because she knows she doesn't know what to say. It's like, do I look fat? You can't answer that. You just shut up. That's what she does. Is that what I look like from behind?
I think it's time for me to have a sandwich.
It is what I look like from behind. You never see that. In what part of normal life would you ever see what you look like from the back? Never. I am not double jointed. I have no idea what my ass looks like. None. I have never seen my ass crack. Ever. I don't know what I look like from the back. It's physically impossible. I need a series of properly placed mirrors placed there by an engineering student from Harvard. Otherwise, I have never seen the back of my body. This is my body. I've been in it for a long time, and I've never seen my rear end or my back or the back of my head. Well, I have seen the back of my head, but if that's an indication of what's going on there, we got trouble. We got trouble in River City. Now, I usually don't look at the backs of people. I don't look at people walking away from me because I don't have to. I mean, it's over. I see people approaching me. I see when I'm talking to them what they look like from the front. I don't recall people from the back. But every once in a while, there'll be a person who has a nice ass. I'm not an ass kind of guy. But sometimes it's a little bit enthralling. Back of my eyes, I don't know what I look like from the back. I have no freaking idea. I got a little clue on the back of my head, and I'm not thrilled with that. So maybe we should just go home and shut up at this point. Man, I am telling you, if you ever want to get depressed and feel that your life should end a little bit earlier than expected, get a full shot of your back. I don't know where you could get one. I don't know who does this. At what point, how would you ever see what your back looks like? Unless you're double jointed and you can turn your head around to the point where you're in a full length mirror with your back to it and you can turn your head around to see the mirror. Most people can't do that. I know I can't. I'm not even going to try. I'd have permanent neck damage. I'm not an owl.
I am not an owl. I'm not an animal. I am not an owl.
I cannot see the back of my stuff. I could ask you what it looks like, but that would be your opinion. That doesn't really matter. I need to see it. It's kind of odd that I've never seen it. I don't want to dwell on this, but it is a point to be had. That's why I do this talk show, by the way. I mean, you could have gone through your whole life without really caring what you look like from the back, never being able to personally see it. Maybe this bothers you now. I'm just bringing things up. That's all I'm doing. I do have a guest that's going to join us momentarily. But first, we're going to take a short commercial break. Thank you for being here and listening to all this crap that I've just handed out unto you. Hey, do you like calamari? So do I.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves to open the area's new favorite restaurant.
Here we go. It's called...
It's Headshots. Jesus, give me a minute, would you?
Sorry.
Hey, do you love calamari? Then you need to come to Headshots this month for our Carnival of Calamari. That's right, we got tons of great recipes all made with delicious chicken.
Calamari.
You gotta try our famous 1-2 punch pasta loaded with shrimp.
Also says calamari.
Calamari. How about a nice beef lo mein piccata? And our spicy school bus fried Diablo? Forget about it. You've never had calamari until you've had the Eiffel Tower at Head Shots during our carnival of I Could Have Knocked Joe Frazier on His Ass back in the day.
Oh my God.
Come in and ask for me, Bobby Calamari. Bobby Head Shots. I'm the guy that owns the place.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Katie, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. Katie Kobe's here. She's next door's head of community. She lives right next door to me, by the way. No, that's not what that means, but it kind of does. Before we even start talking about anything, Katie, you've got to tell me about Next Door, because a lot of people aren't familiar with what that even means.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'd be happy to tell you about it. So Next Door is the neighborhood app. You can go to any app store that you're familiar with to download. You can also go to our website, nextdoor.com, to sign up. And when you sign up for Next Door, what happens is that you get automatically connected with all of the neighbors, the local businesses, the nonprofits, all the different organizations and places in your real life neighborhood. You'll connect with them digitally online through Next Door. So mm-hmm. it's a really great way to stay up to date with what's going on in your neighborhood, to sell a couch if you need to, that sort of thing.
So, I mean, people can do favors for each other back and forth. Doesn't necessarily involve money necessarily. It's just like people kind of hooking up with neighbors.
Absolutely. And the whole intention is to connect with people who are nearby to okay. you. And so that's definitely something that makes us a little bit different.
Okay. I don't have to be friends with them or have them over for dinner or anything, do I?
No, definitely
okay.
not.
Okay, fine. Okay. Now, I know that with this entire concept, a lot of things are branching off of this, which proved to be benefits of this whole concept. And one of them is the 7th Annual Neighborhood Faves Awards. And, of course, I beckon, what is that?
The Neighborhood Faves Award is something that we came up with 7 years ago to really help to strengthen, to recognize, to reward all of the local businesses in each of our neighborhoods. So if you think about it, local businesses are so critical to our neighborhoods. They really help contribute to the economy. They create jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, they're helpful from a tourism standpoint, like all these different things. They're really kind of, you know, helping us to all thrive. And so we want to make sure that our local businesses can thrive too.
Okay.
So what Neighborhood Faves does is that it allows each of us as neighbors to go vote for our favorite businesses and give them that powerful word of mouth recommendation that's really going to help them grow their business.
Okay. So like, I mean, it makes sense to support the local business because that way it does help the economy and it's better and it's local fresh stuff. So that makes all the sense in the world. So what we're doing basically is supporting them by giving them good reviews and accolades.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's free to do. You know, I know right now budgets are tight for a lot of folks out there, and so you may not necessarily be able to shop at some of your favorites, but what you can do is leave them a positive review, and that is a free way to support any business that you love.
Excellent. Now, give me some examples of how it's come around, come back when you do support them, some of those heart-rending stories.
Yeah, there's so many different stories out there over the last 7 years. You know, we've definitely seen small businesses, once they've won the Neighborhood Favorites Award, what really happens is that by being a neighborhood favorite, neighborhood fave, you get more eyeballs on your business, especially on Nextdoor. Something like 290 times more views on your business page on Nextdoor. You get 6 times the amount of recommendations because more people are seeing your business page and recommending you. 5 times the amount of ad impressions if you're using Nextdoor ads. So essentially, from that visibility, what that ultimately will translate to is to new clients, new feet walking through the front door if you've got like a brick and mortar retail store, that sort of thing. And we've seen all sorts of businesses. You know, there's 20 different categories of businesses that you can vote on. So businesses all across the spectrum, you know, from dog walkers to tax accountants to restaurants, mm-hmm. everybody is benefiting from the Neighborhood Saves program.
Yeah, that sounds really good. You know, I had a situation a couple of days ago where my neighbor, three houses away, was doing power washing, and they looked like they were doing a pretty good job. But my question was, are they good? I mean, I know you hired them as power washing, but how were they? And yeah, and I contacted, and they said, yeah, they're very good, and I ended up using them. And I guess that's the theory here.
Yeah, that is the theory. You know, my mom is a local business owner. She has been my entire life growing up. And she's always told me, she's like, my business is 100% powered by that word of mouth advertising mm-hmm. that you're talking about. One neighbor talking to the next neighbor, giving them some feedback, and someone else deciding, hey, yeah, you know, I'll give it a shot. That kind of advertising is so, so powerful, and it's so critical for all of these smaller businesses that oftentimes have very limited advertising dollars, right? Mm-hmm. They have limited budget, so they can't actually go out and outspend the bigger guys to compete with the different ads that they may be placing in different places.
Yeah.
So again, like word of mouth is the way to go for sure.
Yeah. Especially restaurants, man. That really works.
Yeah.
Yeah. No question.
Absolutely.
No question. All right. Okay, so under this entire umbrella, where would we go to make these connections?
So you go directly to nextdoor.com/faves, S-A-V-E-S, and that will prompt you to log in, and you can start voting right from there. Super easy, super fast. I've been voting this morning myself.
Sounds very good. So, check out Nextdoor and see all of the benefits from getting involved in this. Katie, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. That'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until then, I wish you peace. Don't get indicted now.